Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we're ready to go talk about green building today. But I want to bring in the riches and the niches tools to help us be successful on this fireside chat. And we get to go talk with Greg Ingles, who this is his passion, and he is on the board of the Colorado Green Building Guild, CGBG, and he's very involved with that, with the life of architecture. But I don't have familiar with that, but so I'm bringing Matt McMullen along with us here to talk about the Colorado Green Building Guild. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Hey, Devin, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. Look forward to chatting with Greg. And Colorado Green Building Guild started in Boulder. It's now a statewide organization, but that's where its roots were. And looking forward to chatting with him a little bit about that.
Awesome. So we've worked hard. And what is the main message that we want to convey to you today? Tribe, it's all about sustainability is synonymous with resiliency, meaning built to last, right? Build better buildings is what this podcast is all about for you contractors and affiliates. And Greg has taken this approach into his architectural career, focusing on renovating existing infrastructure with better, more resilient materials to create buildings that last. Talk about something that's close to us, right, Matt?
Exactly.
And how you're going to benefit is that, you know, the general public believes sustainability design is this commodity thing now, right? And the only affluent few can afford it. Designers and builders need to educate people in ways to update existing buildings into contemporary sustainable structures with higher performing envelopes. So we're going to go talk through that stuff and help build better structures. And my perspective is, how do we build better buildings that are built to last? So today we get to hear that sustainable architect's perspective, and I'm excited to blend the AOC Global Megaphone with the Colorado construction community through the Colorado Green Build. Matt, what's your perspective for the show?
Well, you know, I'm always excited when a fellow architect is on the podcast, because we can talk about the creative sickness, you know, that we have and our commitment to the betterment of society. But yeah, I'm really interested to hear what Colorado Green Building Guild is up to, because I know they've had quite a bit of impact on the local and state design community since their early formation. So it will be great to catch up with Greg and find out where they're headed.
Awesome. Well, let's dive in and get to know Greg's story and what this Colorado Green Building is all about. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
I'm going to have to go with Golden Haze. It's a New England IPA by New Terrain Brewery in my town, Golden, Colorado.
Nice, nice. And what's a favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, man, this is definitely a tough one, because I love traveling so much. But I would have to say Thailand. My wife and I were lucky enough to stay in about six different locations across Thailand in 2019. Mostly southern Thailand, starting from the Andaman Sea, visiting Koh Yai Noi, Phi Phi Islands, and Krabi before venturing inland to the very mystical Koh Sok National Park. And then finished on the east side of southern Thailand in the Gulf of Thailand at Koh Samui, Koh Phan Yang, and my favorite, Koh Tao. I completed my scuba certification in Thailand and was so fortunate to see just the world underwater there. It was incredible.
Awesome. Well, give us one story that comes to mind from this experience.
Oh, wow. So yeah. So like I said, I got certified there. I finished my certification there. And so, I was in the water. It was the first time getting in the ocean, and I was going through these, underwater drills with my instructor. And then all of a sudden, what seemed to be a spotted wall started to move behind her with a tail the size of a sedan, nearly pushed us into the reef. I was just stunned and thought I would surely see another one before the end of the trip. And little did I know, my instructor, who had been diving for 15 years, had never seen a whale shark before. So I was super lucky on my first dive, did not see another one, but really enjoyed the experience and
that's super
going through
cool.
It. Yeah.
And so what's your hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, I've always been really interested in nature and all things green. And over the pandemic lockdown, I had so much time around the house, right? And so I started to collect and cultivate houseplants. I found it so interesting to find, you know, the best place in the house for different species and how far away from the windows they need to be and how to care for them correctly. And now I have over 27 species of houseplants, many of which I clone. And, you know, that's now kind of ventured outside into my garden, which is mostly native wildflowers at this point. But I really love kind of improving my green thumb.
I love that. You know, that's the Colorado passions and all the stuff. When we were stuck inside, we had to find a way to still have as much fun as possible, right? So, well, let's get into it. And what's your story that led you getting into architecture?
All right. Well, I am from Northeast Massachusetts. I was raised to appreciate the charm of New England's historic architecture. And although neither of my parents were really interested in art or construction too much, I kind of always gravitated towards creating. From tree houses to building model cars, I really learned to nourish my craving to build at a very young age. I then ventured out west. I went to the School of Environmental Design at CU Boulder, and it was there I learned my passion for sustainability and really enjoyed working kind of in construction along that and getting the hands-on experience alongside the architectural scholastic experience.
Awesome. Well, go Buffs. Here we go. So what are your architectural specialties and what do you enjoy focusing on most?
Oh man. Well, I spent the last 2 years working in Boulder, at a design build firm as a project architect. And my focus has been on renovating existing structures into high-end resilient homes. And I really enjoy restoration and adaptive reuse, which are two very different methods on how to update existing buildings. But my most enjoyable projects are probably renovating existing homes. I love to kind of discover what can be reused and renovated within an existing building and how updating the performance while still holding on to some of those more select, some of the charm of its past or multiple past uses.
So Greg, I just want to talk with you a little bit about the history of the Green Building, Colorado Green Building Guild. And I don't know if you'll remember this, but there was a huge push through City of Boulder and also Boulder County to really start to apply sustainability and all its principles into the existing housing and commercial stock in Boulder County. You know, in fact, right when they started, if I have my math right or my memory right, Colorado Green Building Guild and Resource 2000 started about the same time, which was repurposing. It really changed the idea of demolition to deconstruction, you know, where you started to reuse things. Can you talk a little bit about Colorado Green Building Guild and your appointment and how that sort of legacy is kind of feeding into what you're doing now?
Sure. Well, yeah, I certainly remember those early years when I was in school at CU Boulder. I remember it being the Boulder Green Building Guild at that point. And since returning to Colorado after doing some work in California, I was reintroduced and, you know, really have been so proud of what they've accomplished and what they're still doing today. Definitely taking it to the statewide level was a really smart move. Bringing in other municipalities to try to emulate what Boulder's already started. But it's just a great organization. I was so fortunate to be granted a board seat in January. And it's a nonprofit trade organization that represents a wide range of individuals, all interested in green building. So the members span from architects and builders to realtors, homeowners, really anyone who believes green building should be adopted as common practice in our communities and beyond.
Yeah, and that's very similar. The mission, I think, of CG BG is really similar to what Arctic Construction does, is that you try to break down those silos between the different skill sets within the architecture, engineering, and construction fields, bring everybody together to have a conversation. Because I don't know if you guys still have engineers that are part of the group, but I remember landscape architects, surveyors, civil engineers, structural engineers were all part of the initial formation of that board. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the, you know, the makeup of the board and kind of some projects that you guys are working on right now.
Sure. Yeah. So we definitely, we're very inclusive on really anyone who's interested in green building. And so certainly we still have engineers and other types of consultants on board, and generally we're made up of a handful of committees. Each committee has chairs and co-chairs and members that kind of support them in their efforts. And the board meets about once a month, and we share committee progress and new ideas for events. We are actually really hoping to start an advocacy committee by 2022, in which we would assist municipalities in accurately creating sustainable measures in both the planning and building departments, and really just be a resource for them. You know, when they have new materials, new processes that they're not used to measuring, hopefully we could help them make this stuff more common practice.
Yeah, I love that, how we're giving the specifics, right, Matt, of how this started in Boulder. You know, and this is a lot like the Art of Construction. These movements start from people that are passionate about it, right? So Boulder to Colorado. But now I want to like zoom all the way out and just say, you know, what is your overall perspective on sustainability and construction, and how do we build better buildings to last, which is really our founding principles of this Art of Construction tribe?
So I feel really great about how far sustainability has come in the last decade or so. But I also understand that we do have a long way to go. I mean, I feel builders and architects really need to spend more time educating their clients about the simple steps that we can take for better buildings. And so as much as I love building science and the minute details of what makes an envelope perform well, most clients aren't necessarily interested or need to hear about that science, and where they really need to be presented this type of building in a very simple, kind of fundamental way. And so a few things I kind of live by are reusing existing buildings when possible. And this is over the more traditional, I guess, scrape and new build method. Designing, and then when you do make new buildings, designing new buildings to be somewhat flexible and universal, just because a client would want a third bedroom on your second floor doesn't mean the next owner would. So how can you design it in a way that it could easily be transformed into another space without having to redo the structural system or the entire plumbing system, just for example? So building with the future in mind, so it can be enjoyed in many ways, by many different generations. And then additionally, I've always been one to believe function over form. I know that's kind of a hot topic in architecture, form or function, which is more important, but I've always believed that a well thought out space is inherently beautiful. And I always encourage clients to put their money towards the efficient windows, the efficient walls and systems over embroidery, which is what I call finishes that don't necessarily add value. Right. So
embroidery. I love that.
Solid or engineered wood would add value to your floor, where vinyl or even carpet are more of a temporary fix, right? Something that would need to eventually be torn up and redone and likely be put in a landfill, sadly. So that's kind of the conversation I have with clients early on and try to get them on board with my overall goals.
Yeah, I mean, really good perspectives, and where we're at right now with, you know, the shortage of houses and the rise of building materials and like how all these costs and things move. So I really want to say, I want to ask you the question that's a pretty loaded one of, say, new builds versus remodels, is one more sustainable than the other?
So personally, I think absolutely yes. I think, you know, the Colorado Green Building Guild's current president, Frank Wettenkamp, shout out to Frank, has been quoted to say the greenest building is one that isn't built, right? So of course that doesn't mean we should stop building buildings, but we should really be making use of what's currently out there existing and making those buildings better. In a world that seems to be increasingly virtual, you know, homelessness is a very real world problem that seemingly is only getting worse and worse. And so, you know, making use of old infrastructure, regardless of what it's being used for, obviously there's some circumstances where that wouldn't make sense, but I always lean on making use of that when we can.
So, you know, I see that you spent some of your time of educational and professional career in LA. And I kind of chuckled because my first office when I went on my own was right over in Santa Monica on 1833 Stanford Street. And that was the original, in that complex was the original SciArc. And we used to call it Tinsel Tech. when I was reading, you know, when I was reading through some of your information, I was kind of curious if you could talk a little bit about, I think this will be interesting to some architects. Really, SciArc, when it first started, it was all about theory and all about form and not so much function necessarily. But it seems like there's been a change where they've really embraced sustainability as it started to go more mainstream. Can you talk a little bit about your experience at SciArc and kind of what you're bringing to the table in your professional career from what you learned there?
Of course. Yeah. And I think your beliefs with SciArc are still ring true, right? Those are their roots. It's essentially an art school. They are so great at the creative side and the form and the theory. It's a great place to learn that. And it was there that I learned how to use gaming software to render photorealistic imagery, and their wood and steel shops to fabricate custom furniture. So they're very cross-disciplinary, very, very cutting edge in terms of, technology, using, you know, all sorts of the latest tech, whether 3D printers or, robotics, you know, all sorts of great stuff going on there. But I must admit, I'm not a huge advocate of theory. I think mostly because it rarely has much to do with sustainability and long-lasting design. So much of theory is about trends and patterns, which tends to relate more to fashion design than what I consider to be timeless architecture, right? So I'm really focused, and there were individuals there also focused on sustainability, but it was an uphill battle going through SciArc with that mentality.
So another thing I saw pop up in there, you've got a thing in here that you worked summers renovating modern homes along the Mulholland Drive Scenic Corridor. And actually that was my first license was in California. And we had a client who found a home up on Mulholland, and it was a Roger Walker, who was one of the original case study architects.
Awesome.
And the distinction he had from all the other case study architects was he was the first design builder. So he was an architect and he actually built the homes. And that kind of kindled my love for design build. And I see, you know, that you also have a background in design build. And if you could talk a little bit about that.
You guys just got to help. What's case? You said case architect. You got to help the kindergartner.
Here. Case study. Yeah.
So case study architects were architects in Los Angeles that I can't remember the magazine now. It wasn't Progressive Architecture, but it was something similar. And they put out a call for architects to design in the modernist style, which is what you see all over Denver and all over every large city from the 50s, basically. And so they, you know, post and beam, lots of glass, very minimal structure, very open floor plan. It was different than anything else that was going on. And so, you had Ray Cappy, who was one of the founders of SciArc, and other people that were involved in that.
Man, we're getting some California architecture influential stuff all over the place. This is good.
Well, yeah, just to speak to design build real quick. Yeah, that was my first passion was building, right? And so I learned the art of construction being on a job site. And, you know, early on in my career, I remember, I think this was in high school, I was on a job site and I told a carpenter that I wanted to be an architect. And he just went on and on about how architects don't know anything about how buildings come together. And, you know, they're always just pie in the sky, thinkers. Right. And so that kind of resonated with me, and it was something that has stuck with me throughout my career. And I kind of always wanted to prove him wrong and every other contractor wrong and have that knowledge and that background. And it actually was what helped me get a job in the height of the recession. Leaving CU, I worked at a design build firm and was able to, you know, be employed because of that knowledge. So, design build was huge for me, but yeah, going out to California, it was all because of, the international style and, mid-century modern design. I loved going out there and seeing case study homes and going out to Palm Springs. And it's a beautiful part of the world for architecture.
You know, so you had much higher ideals than I did. I actually went out there because of the Beach Boys song, California Girls, and had to go get my own California girl. So I admire your passion. That was a side effect for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, hey, you know, to continue on that string, man, the reason I ask that is I have a belief that's similar to yours, and our friend Steve Burrows, you know, who all of our AOC tribe and podcast family will know, he talks about the need to return to a master builder, you know, or master architect. And I had a similar experience too, where it was a carpenter who came up to me and said, "Hey, architects, all they do is draw cartoons. and you guys really need to understand how this goes together. And once you understand that, it'll free you up where you can then do amazing architecture." So throwing that out to you, do you feel that it's an important skill that each architect should either at least understand how to build or to spend some time in the field?
Absolutely. I mean, I've met many architects, many talented architects that don't have that background, but there's always something missing, right? There's always that one piece that if they understood what a building material wanted to be and how it wanted to act and how you could bend those traits to make it do something else, that's incredible. Those are things you learn in the field and by doing and by mocking up in your backyard or in your garage when you're trying to figure something out. And so having that interest and that experience really does help you not only design better and detail better, but speak to those in the field, whether contractors, subcontractors, and being able to speak the same language and allow them to kind of speak to the design and help you design better is all part of, you know, this great kind of web of knowledge that we should be contributing to.
Hey, so I wanted to say one thing, because what you're talking about right now, Greg, is super important. Not only to the AOC mission, but to Devin and I personally. And that is the respect for the trades, right? And so we have a whole series that John Stambaugh is on that talks about AOC construction warriors. Can you talk a little bit about, because I know a lot of architects, and I hate to say this about our brethren, will go onto a job site and they only talk to the client. They do not talk to any of the craftsmen or tradesmen. Can you talk about how important that is? To actually have that dialogue so that the tradesmen and craftsmen understand that we just design it, they're the ones who bring it into fruition, and that we want to partner with them?
Of course. Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes from the licensure process, right? Like, we're taught not to converse with subcontractors and go around the contractor for legal reasons, but it is so important. You know, talking to a mason, understanding the things that they have learned from decades of experience will allow you to actually design a brick building, right? Like, you wouldn't be able to understand all of the intricacies without that knowledge, or you could, but it just would be limited. And then you're offsite and they're doing their own thing and you're kind of disconnected. But if one of the things I really love about design build is having this ability to get subcontractors and contractors in the design conversation early on before we're on the field, just to say, hey, is this buildable? Is there a better way to do it? How would you do it? And by them describing the process, you'll probably think of an even better way that you wouldn't even have thought of before. And it's just that back and forth and that kind of coordination and partnership really of designers and builders that will make us progress even more so in the future.
So here's where I want to chime in back to, you mentioned Steve Burrows, Matt, and he talks about how if you're following the trends and see where this thing goes of the new master builder or master architect, I would challenge us to think a little bit differently, or because he says it's the greatest time to be in construction because we actually finally have the computational power to connect the two and have the digital builder and the physical builder playing from the same sheet of music. And that's BIM, building informational modeling, where we can actually use generative design and all these things that we've had many podcasts about, to where you actually can manage two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money. And that's what this stuff boils down to, of like the learning and the practice of the 10,000 hours to get there. So that's where I would love when you say we return to the likes of the master architect. Why do we use the term return to the master architect, in your opinion?
So I don't know exactly what Steve Burrows is referring to, but when I hear master architect, it kind of sounds a little egotistical for my taste. I most of the architects I know don't need any more strokes to their ego, but I think that the best buildings that I've been a part of are the ones working with a team of specialists made up of consultants, builders, subcontractors, fellow architects and designers. It really isn't ever one person really making it happen, right?
And there's the crux. And that's why to feed off of your passion, I'm sitting here and I'm just totally feeling the passion of, like, you guys actually care about building better buildings versus just the theory of my name on a building. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Like, it's more of that. The tribe is more than just putting your name on a building. Matt, what's your take as we're hearing his passions and using these platforms to put this into fruition?
Well, you know, so what Greg's talking about, where, you know, it's like the Dan Fogelberg, Tim Weisberg album, you know, twin sons of different mothers, is the one thing that all the architects that I know that I respect and look up to, it is all about the end user, you know, and it's all about the occupant. And you are absolutely passionate about bringing everything you can to the table, whether it's a, you know, high net worth client, or it's a shelter for the homeless. It is all about bringing dignity and use of the space to that person. That's really what I think Greg and I are talking about.
Yeah, I love that. So, Greg, Agreed. Are there any upcoming CGBG events that you want to let the tribe know about? This is for all of us lifelong learners, and these are the places you got to get involved in wherever you're at in the world. Find your CGBG. But for the tribe, maybe say about anything coming up that you guys got going on, Greg?
Definitely. So I encourage everyone to go out to Colorado Green Building Guild's website. There's just a wealth of information on there. We're always putting information on upcoming events, and bag lunches that we do, lunch and learns that are super, informative on, you know, what's happening currently. But one event I really want to plug is, our annual Boulder Green Home Tour, which will be, Saturday, September 25th here in Boulder, Colorado. And, it's a self-guided tour, which features a series of in-person tours at properties or homes in Boulder County. Attendees will see both modern and traditional custom properties, remodels, multifamily projects. And during our last tour, we had over 400 attendees. So it's just a great opportunity for curious college students, to industry professionals, or just interested homeowners or prospective homeowners who are really interested to learn about the latest and greatest in energy efficiency, green building, and solar design.
And Greg, I see a percentage of those proceeds go to the Earth Guardians, which is a great organization.
Correct.
For all the people who don't know, those are the people that keep the Martians away from Earth. So very important. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a great organization.
Yeah, they help get diverse young adults interested in social issues, sustainability issues, and leadership, and really get them psyched about all those issues and what they can do to help.
Awesome. Well, we commend you for all this work you're doing on those different events and stuff. But we always ask this question. I love when we get to have different perspectives come into Studio OC. But what is your crystal ball for the future of technology with construction?
So I see buildings becoming much more similar to computers. Just like our phones transformed into small computers, homes will transform into larger ones. I see the difference is kind of similar to if you've seen a new Tesla versus an older fossil fuel driven vehicle. It's just, you know, new homes are going to be clean, simple, and run completely off renewable energy. And this is the future I want to be a part of and can't wait to witness.
Fascinating stuff. And to close that out, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates leading the AOC tribe to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I would just say keep educating clients with those basic fundamentals. I think it's really important to make green building just presented as a way that's so attainable. It's so easy to do. It doesn't need a ton of money. It doesn't need, you know, grandiose ideas. It can be done very simply, and they can have a home or even renovate their current home to be a green building today.
Awesome. Greg, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Matt, it's so inspiring for me to, I didn't get educated through architect school. I've just been going through the school of hard knocks of just being out in the field. But it's such a breath of fresh air when we say, you know, how do we all come together to build better buildings and not just intimidate through ARCA speak, but actually talk about how we can make a computational design come to life? And at the end of the day, it's these paradigm shifts all working together and truly giving a shit when it comes to building better buildings. But it's really fun for me to hear you guys is talking through the theory and practice or form versus function. What's your take, Matt?
You know, I think this is a podcast that we can use to kind of put in opposition to Phil Reed's podcast and assertion, you don't have to go to architecture school to be an architect, which I still love that title, but I wish you would have got to me early on before I spent all that money. But no, seriously, like, you know, talking to Greg is just, you know, getting to be chronologically mature here. You know, I remember the beginnings when it was the Boulder Green Building Guild. It was BGBG. And to see them now expand that to Colorado, and then knowing the people that I knew who originally started it, to then see Greg, you know, ascend to that level coming out of school, like really warms your heart, not only just as an architect and fellow professional, but as a person, right? That there are these kind of people willing to, out of all the things they could be doing in their lives, that they actually choose to make a difference through sustainability and making the planet a better place. It inspires me.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, is right now with the fires and the this, and it's pretty easy to be the glasses half empty right now. But it's people like Greg that are taking legacy platforms that have started in Boulder to Colorado to now stepping up to the global megaphone to say, find your alliance, find your green building. And if you need some introductions, the tribe is here to help. So we're big fans of what Greg and the team is doing, and it's all for you, contractor and affiliates. If the one thing you want to do, from my perspective, to grow, to build better buildings, is to be a lifelong learner and never give up, but always look at it as the glass is half full and use the tools to break through the ceiling versus just say, we've always done it that way, or why would you go be an architect? It's not about the label, right, Matt? We've been talking about, as we're building up the Art of Construction tribe, I'll leave you to close this out. What's a title if you can't actually help build better buildings?
Well, you know, I'll be an architect for a second. You know, people always want to talk about the zoning, but it's actually the use category that's important. And if you focus on the usage of the space and what you're doing, that's where you'll affect the most number of people.
Wait, you don't mean instantly tear it down because it's going to be cheaper if I just tear it down, because it'll be faster and I can make more money if you just tear it down because I don't have to think about that, right?
That's option A, but there are other options, B, and including D through F, so.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it. It's an honor as always.
Awesome. Crush it out there, tribe.